This is Progressive Radio, a weekly conversation hosted by Matthew Rothschild, editor of The Progressive Magazine, a leading voice for peace and social justice. For more information about Progressive Radio or The Progressive Magazine, log on to our website at progressive.org.
I'm Matt Rothschild, and welcome to Progressive Radio, which you can also grab off our website over at progressive.org. Today, it's a pleasure to have in the studio with me the filmmaker Glenn Silber. He wrote and directed one of my favorite movies of all time, The War at Home, and his latest work is called Labor Day, When Winning is the Only Option. It's a documentary about the Obama election and the work of the Service Employees International Union in this effort, among other things. Glenn Silber, welcome to Progressive Radio.
Thanks so much for having me.
Why'd you decide to do this film?
Wow. You know, as we approached the 2008 election, well, back in really early 2007, I had to make a decision as to whether I wanted to stay in my happy little job over at ABC News 2020, where I was quite satisfied, or I had to think about what was coming up. And I felt like, although my personal situation was fine, I was kind of deeply unhappy with a lot of things going on in the country, from the war in Iraq to, you know, what was going on Wall Street, the housing bubble. I had done a number of stories on that for ABC, and I really kind of felt like the next 3 years were going to be a really profound period of change. That was before the word was being tossed around every third sentence. And I just thought, for once, maybe I should look for some alternatives to just signing up again. My kids were about to both be out of college. I had a little more flexibility. And I had three or four ideas, and one of them was to approach the Service Employees Union, who I knew pretty well. My wife had worked there part-time for a couple of years as a consultant, and I just knew that they were doing so much amazing work, and not a single person I knew had a clue who they were. And I was especially aware that they would be very, very involved in the next presidential election. So I thought maybe there were some things we could do with them, and that would be a good basis to going back to being independent. And that's kind of how the ball got rolling.
One of the interesting things about the movie is this focus on Labor Day in the opening several minutes, where you just go at a Labor Day picnic asking workers what Labor Day means to them. Why'd you go that way?
Well, that picnic, as you call it, was actually a really amazing event on Labor Day, 2008. You know, they say that's when the real presidential campaign begins. And it was an event right across from the Republican convention. I mean, 300-400 yards away up in St. Paul. And it was a concert for at least 15,000 people. And before it started, we went around just sort of testing the waters. It was a mixture of young people who'd come for the music, labor people, just plain folks. And part of the idea is that we felt Labor Day had sort of lost some of its meaning. You know, there was a time when it was the major holiday for whole parts of the country, strong union towns. And now it was at best a day for grilling a hot dog or trying to catch a sale at Macy's. And so we thought, as a motif, if you will, this was something that could resonate throughout the film. And we actually break up the whole chronology of the election campaign with going back to that concert two or three times. And it was interesting to me that, you know, the union felt they wanted to take back and reclaim that day as a meaningful day where labor is respected, as our unions. And so it sort of seemed to fit into our not very well-organized plan for the movie.
I'm speaking with Glenn Silber, who has a new documentary out called Labor Day, not just about Labor Day, but about the Obama campaign and the Service Employees International Union's role in that campaign. What struck you about covering the Obama campaign?
Well, I was really mostly covering SEIU's role in it. You asked me, I didn't quite answer your question, why did we want to make it? This was not a film that was really planned entirely. I was doing some production for them, including a 10-minute video that we did for them about Obama and about the union's history with Obama, because many of their members didn't really know much about him unless you lived in Illinois. And through that process of going back to Altguild Gardens on the far south side of Chicago, and where he was a community organizer, and meeting some of the SEIU members who had worked with him when he was training them in power relationships as a community organizer, I got more and more interested in him. I got more and more interested in the union's role. And, you know, it was amazing to see, you know, as Karen Tumulty from Time Magazine says in the film, what was most important about his campaign was his level of organization. And then when you look at an organization like SEIU making a very hard decision about which way to go and eventually backing him full tilt, you saw this incredible, profound moment of urgency, of passion, of people who really understood what was on the line in this election. And to me, I'm always looking for a great story. You know, that's what I do. I'm a storyteller, I'm a filmmaker. And so when I had a chance to kind of realize that there was this incredible uplift going on, I just started shooting other things that they weren't asking me to shoot so I could have enough material later on to maybe go back and make a movie.
Speaking with Glenn Silber, whose documentary is called Labor Day, I have some problems with the movie, I got to say. One is whether the movie exaggerates the role that SEIU played in the election of Obama. You do get Karen Tumulty and Jonathan Alter of Newsweek to make some lavish claims about the essential role that SEIU played, even saying that if it weren't for SEIU, Obama wouldn't be president. And to me, that at least makes me wonder.
Well, first of all, that's not quite accurate. What they say, what Jonathan Alter does say at a certain point, is that he believes if SEIU had backed Hillary Clinton instead of Obama, that she would have won the nomination because of how close it was. And there's a longer explanation about
that. Well,
that's
pretty close to what I said, isn't it? I
mean, if
they had backed Hillary Clinton and not Obama, Obama wouldn't have won. I'll settle for that.
Okay, well, I think that inside of the Democratic Party, labor does have a big footprint. And labor is a huge constituency, probably the most reliable constituency, or certainly among the one or two most reliables. And, you know, we say at the very beginning, before the film starts, there's a card on the screen that says something like this: the 2008 presidential election was extraordinary, not only because of the race and gender of some of the leading candidates, but because of the passionate participation of millions of Americans and hundreds, or if not thousands, of organizations. This is the story of one of them. So it's not our intention to overstate their importance, but as an independent group, you know, other people have called them one of the very most important, and given the mobilization they put out, which you see in the film, and given the resources they put out, it's hard to, I think, deny that. I think what we're trying to show is this is a microcosm, kind of the way we look at the war at home. Madison is not portrayed as what ended the war in Vietnam, or is the absolute leader in the anti-war movement. But in order to get any understanding of the process, you have to look at an example. You try to narrow the focus and use something that's like a microcosm. So if you can look at our film Labor Day and what this one organization did, and it's really about, bottom line, what it's really about is regular working folks, lots of them, empowered by their union, thousands of whom leave home, many of them for months, and make a decision and a commitment that they're going to work, you know, and do everything humanly possible this time around to fight for change and make sure at the end the result is not stolen, lost, or, you know, goes the wrong way.
That's what I loved about the movie. That was the best part about the movie as far as I was concerned, this focus on people who were excited about the moment, who were energized by Obama and the hope that Obama provided them, and wanted to make history or wanted to change the course of our government from Bush-Cheney to something better. And to see those people talk in their own voices about why they were doing that, and then with all the emotion as you follow it through to Election Day, I thought that was really powerful. But to me, another question that troubled me the longer I watched the movie and thought about it was this focus on SEIU, leaving aside whatever historical role you want to give it in this election, and that is because SEIU is such a controversial union right now. And Andy Stern, the head of SEIU, was such a controversial figure, and he plays a prominent role in the movie, and there's no real criticism of Andy Stern yet. A lot of observers of the labor movement, including Bill Fletcher, view Andy Stern as probably the single worst thing that's happened to the labor movement in the last 10 years. He's been such a divisive force. So didn't you... How do you respond to that? I just think it's odd to have a movie in this day and age that glorifies Andy Stern when Andy Stern is a real problem.
Well, I'm not going to comment. I don't even know who Bill Fletcher is, but I'm going
to say Bill Fletcher used to work at the AFL-CIO as Sweeney's education head officer. He's a longtime civil rights activist and progressive activist in the country. He was on a Bill Moyers show recently, warning that Obama might get assassinated. So he's a public intellectual on the left.
All right. Well, I think you can talk to other leading figures in the AFL, including David Newby here in the state of Wisconsin, and you'll get a different response. But the point is, this is not about a story about controversies involving SEIU's inner workings. This is a very simple story, and I don't think you should lose sight of that. And what's in the film is 100% accurate, which is what this one union did, playing their role to try to elect a progressive president. That's what it's about. That's all it's about. If I was running around trying to tell three or four different stories, I would tell no story and you'd be completely confused. I think this was the big picture throwdown. And if you look at, as far as Andy Stern goes, there's a reason why he was called the fifth most important person in healthcare right now by Modern Healthcare Magazine or whatever it's called, because they've had the leadership role, which is understandable since they have over 1 million healthcare workers. And they know that every time they go into a bargaining, what screws up their bargaining is healthcare. So I think they've played an incredibly important role in this area, and they are to this moment. So, you know, there's people within labor and people probably in the progressive community that are, you know, viewing him as progressive, as controversial. That wasn't what this film's about. You know, if I wanted to make a dissection of, you know, conflicts within labor, I guess that would be a whole different film. This was a very simple film.
No, but, I mean, in filmmaking, you make choices, and you made the choice to focus on SEIU. And SEIU was so controversial, first because it broke from the AFL to form Change to Win, and secondly, more recently, it's been, you know, kicking out some of its more progressive locals or taking trusteeship over them, including the United Healthcare Workers, that has raised a whole host of questions within the broader labor movement as to what is the role of SEIU and Andy Stern. So I'm just wondering, in simplifying the story, are you distorting things?
I think you're really missing the point. This, I could tell five different stories probably about SEIU, and you would be completely confused. We're telling a story that uses the what I consider to be the most important election of my lifetime and a turning point for this country around the biggest issues facing us right now, whether it's healthcare, jobs, immigration, workers' rights, you name it. And it seems like you have a different agenda that you wish I'd made a different film about. And I'm sorry that I didn't make that film for you, but that was my choice to make a film about this election. I thought that was a good way for the public at large, not just the labor movement. Most people don't even know who SEIU is. Okay, I once went around at 2020 for a whole hour, asked 20 friends, producers, not like, you know, stupid people, what do they think about SEIU? You want to know something? Not one of them knew who I was talking about. Not one of them knew who Andy Stern was.
Well, I believe that, but let's move on to a bigger question, though, to me, and that is what is the attitude, what is the stance, what is our perspective as progressives on Obama right now? I'm Matt Rothschild. I'm the editor at the Progressive Magazine. You're listening to Progressive Radio. I have in the studio with me the filmmaker Glenn Silber, whose latest film is Labor Day, When Winning is the Only Option, which does have really great footage about working people getting involved in the process. He also is the director of an incredible film that everyone should see about the radicalization process in the 1960s called The War at Home, which focuses on my home, Madison, Wisconsin. But the other main point I had when looking at this movie, Labor Day, here a year or so after, is not after Labor Day, but after Obama's election is, wow, it just seems antiquated to me because all the enthusiasm, all the euphoria that was so palpable and palpable in my personal life, too. I took my daughter to the Iowa caucuses. She was ecstatic the night he won. I was pretty thrilled, too, though I try to keep my distance. But my wife had knocked on doors for Obama. My daughter had. One of my sons had. So, you know, there was just great, great enthusiasm and excitement and thrill across the vast liberal and progressive community in this country the day Obama won. And you depict some of that in Labor Day, and I think that's another good part about the film. But right now, at least for me, and I'll speak for myself, very unhappy with the way Obama's been running his presidency. And you don't really get a sense of that, of the possibility of disappointment or fissures or maybe things won't go great in this movie that is so glorifying of Obama. So I just wonder if there's, first of all, whether you think that is a problem of the movie, and if it isn't, what do you think progressive stance should be toward Obama right now? What's your view of Obama right now?
Well, let me answer your first question. First of all, the movie ends on election night in Grant Park. So I don't know how, I would fit in this other conversation that takes place, you know, months later. The reason I think we made the film was to capture the sense of passion and urgency and determination people had to elect him. And I think the takeaway from the movie, which is actually both spoken by President Obama, president-elect at that time, and amplified by President Danny Stern of the Union, is that this election was not and is not the change. This election only presents us now with the possibility of change. And so, you know, I think I'm not here to, you know, defend or apologize for Obama. I think we need to hold him accountable for everything he promised and at the same time recognize that he was dealt the worst hand probably of any president, you know, from a financial standpoint, possibly ever. I think much worse than Franklin Roosevelt. Franklin Roosevelt didn't have a $12 trillion debt to deal with. You know, it's great to read about the things he did at that time and to understand you can go into deficit spending and all that. We're in a very difficult situation. And so, especially when you consider what he's up against in terms of the disruption on the right, I think, you know, he's obviously got to do more, got to do better. And I think that he's been in office 9 months. We wanted this film to come out on the first anniversary of his election. And I think it's a good opportunity to use the film to take a real deep breath and to recognize, as you pointed to, the kind of passions that helped get him elected, and to realize that, like in the case of Franklin Roosevelt, there's that famous story when the unions and others were clamoring for change and wanted this and healthcare, and he said, make me. Okay, so where's the progressive movement right now? Where's the progressive magazine? Where's the nation? Why aren't we having one more kind of clear voice as a united progressive community articulating? You know, we've still got 20 voices probably.
Well, I don't mind a multiplicity of voices. I think the more voices, the better. And at the progressive anyway, we're clear. We don't believe that our role is to be a cheerleader for President Obama. We believe our role is to stand up for progressive principles. And when he departs from those, we criticize him. Just as when Bush departed from anything progressive, though he never was there, we would criticize him. And so in the latest issue of the Progressive, I have an editorial criticizing Obama for pursuing Bush's civil liberties policies in a lot of ways with, you know, indefinite detention and holding people at Bagram Air Force Base and, you know, saying the Supreme Court's got no jurisdiction over there to tell them what to do, or the signing statements or state secrets, or telling the Supreme Court that defendants don't need their Sixth Amendment rights to have an attorney present, essentially, when they're being questioned by the cops. I mean, these are things a lot of people didn't expect out of Obama. Of course, there's the Afghanistan war. You know, there's the you mentioned the banks, the financial crisis. I don't think he's handled that well either. And so there's a lot of ways to in places and to criticize Obama, and I think it's imperative to criticize Obama.
I'm fine with that. I'm not going to be the leader of that, but I think that people who want to hold him accountable, I'm especially disappointed about how he's handled the banks, and I'm worried about Afghanistan, of course. But you know what? I still wake up every day glad he's my president, and I never felt that way about any president going back until Jimmy Carter, to be honest with you. And so, you know, he at least, I know his background, having researched it and having talked to people who worked with him back in the early days, and I think that made a huge impression on him. I think his book articulates a lot of that. And so, you know, 3 weeks ago, we were wringing our hands that there was not going to be a public option. Okay, well, now it looks like there might be a public option. So, you know, I'm not a political leader in that sense. I don't understand how the process works. I try to keep track of it and understand it. I debated vigorously with my friends and my family. But, you know, it's up to the progressive community to have many voices, but if you want to speak loudly enough on issues like healthcare, you know, that's how you'll, or Afghanistan, I think that's how you'll be heard.
But there were a lot of people in the progressive community almost with one voice, speaking with one voice on healthcare, saying that we needed to have universal healthcare, we needed to have a single payer plan. And we were pissed off that Obama and Rahm Emanuel and Max Baucus took universal healthcare off the table. I mean, there really was unanimity there in the progressive movement on that issue. And to my mind, Obama backpedaled the possibility of a robust public option from almost day one, calling it just a sliver of the whole thing. And the public option that's being discussed, isn't exactly robust. I mean, if you're employed already and you've got insurance from an insurance company, you can't get the public option. And so you know, I don't think the healthcare issue has been a success, and I don't think it's an area where you can criticize the progressive movement except for one thing, and that is that those Tea Party things, and maybe this is what you're referring to, in August, when that the town hall meetings, when the right wing came in with all their crazy crap, where was the left wing? And we should have packed those meetings. We should have shouted down those neo-fascists.
And you know who the only group that was doing that was doing that? SEIU. The only group. You remember when in the paper about 3 weeks ago, the congressman from Virginia, who's the new bright light there, Eric Cantor, said the only money or muscle for the public option is the Service Employees International Union. And they have really taken the leadership on this issue. So I know you're critical of them, and apparently you don't think much of them, but I think that if you step back and look at the big picture, they've done some pretty impressive things.
Well, I think they've done some good organizing in the service sector, in the healthcare industry. I wonder about the leadership of Andy Stern, and we've talked about that. We don't need to belabor that point. You worked at ABC 2020. What was it like working in the corporate media, and did you bump up against people not only ignorant, as you said, they were ignorant of the SEIU, but telling you what you can and can't do because of the way ownership is at ABC?
I loved my time at ABC and at CBS News before that. I spent almost 20 years, including 1 year I did a frontline, 20 years working for probably half a different primetime news magazine programs. And it's probably about as much fun as you can legally have at a job. I did so many things. I'm proud of everything I did, to be honest with you. Some of them were not as serious as other things. But I always looked for the aspect of the story that I thought had some iconic value, that had some possibly even epic value of importance, so that it wouldn't be just sort of instantly disposable. And no, I never had a problem with anything at ABC or 2020 because I delivered. You know, if you're a producer and you produce well, and they can count on you and they can trust you, and if it's got to be done in 2 days, they know you can do it. Over time, you really gain their trust. And I loved my colleagues there. It was a big family. I kind of miss it. But I had decided that for once I would, you know, try to take a break from that. I may well go back to it. I don't know.
I'm speaking with Glenn Silberg. He worked at ABC 2020 and CBS, as he just said. He's a professional filmmaker. He did The War at Home, which is a favorite film of mine, about the anti-war movement during the Vietnam days in Madison, Wisconsin. He's got a new documentary out called Labor Day, When Winning is the Only Option, and you can find out more information about it at LaborDayTheMovie.com. Can they download it from there?
www.LaborDayTheMovie.com. There are clips on there. We haven't had it like streaming out there yet, but at some point the DVDs will be available, and you can find out more by staying in touch with that website.
We've got about 5 minutes left, Glenn Silberg. I'm wondering what is next for you. If you don't go back to ABC 2020, is there another documentary you want to make?
I'm doing some work right now on the immigration reform issue that I think will be coming up soon. And I'm not sure if that'll turn into a film or not, but we've done some production on that. And, you know, I don't know. It's been a time out. I sort of stepped out of my 20-year comfort zone at the networks. And, you know, then I made this film because I just felt like this was a film I had to make. It's sort of, there's so much in the film that I feel strongly about. And I think it's a real document of our time, and that it will maybe be even more important in 10 or 20 years if you believe this moment we're in right now is so important. You know, I'm not sure. I have to think about whether I want to try to go back to the networks or do some freelance work for them, or just put myself out there and find another great project.
I think you talked about before we came on that you're interested in maybe returning to the 30s or doing a reflection on the current economic crisis we're in and depicting that. Is that possibly a way you'd go?
Well, you know, the people in our film, the current film, Labor Day, in my view, are largely invisible to the mainstream media. The nurses and nursing assistants, the home care workers, the janitors, the security officers, you know, the people that help make this country run, who are not paid what they should be, often don't have health care. And now, all of a sudden, because of this horrendous recession we're in, which is borderline depression as far as I can tell, you know, we're not sure if we're ever going to get back. And what is happening across the Midwest? What is happening to people losing their homes, you know, and without health care? And so if there was a way to do a show or to do a documentary that tapped into some of those things, I don't think you have to be Michael Moore and be part of the movie to really understand what's going on in the country right now. So,
what do you make of Michael Moore's Capitalism, a Love Story?
I liked it. I mean, I think he's an important filmmaker, and I generally like his films a lot. I think I don't know that he has to be in them quite as much as he is anymore. But going back to my thought, I'm just feeling like what links my films like The War at Home and the Joe McCarthy film I did on the Cold War called An Americanism, Joe McCarthy, my film on El Salvador that came out at a critical time and was really very successful in terms of helping to...
You know, what's that title, Glenn?
El Salvador and Other Vietnam, which was the film I made after The War at Home. It was also nominated for an Academy Award back in 1981. That film was shown at least 5,000 times over a 3 or 4 year period, largely by the Solidarity Movement, but also in campuses all over there. But what I think what links them is these films come out of very difficult times, politically conflictive times, anguished times. And for me, this new film, Labor Day, really sort of, it wasn't something we exactly planned, but over time, as we filmed more and more different episodes, I realized if I did the interviews afterwards to kind of explain what they'd been through, that we really could make a film that would have value. Because at the end of the day, it's about regular working people getting into grassroots organizing, you know, being part of an army of change on the ground that weren't going to find out the day after the election that they lost it by 200 votes in Florida or wonder what happened in Ohio. And so that kind of commitment, I think, is what's still needed, that kind of passion and that kind of urgency to continue the work now that we're a year after the election. As the president said himself that night, the election was just not the change itself, but the possibility of change. So we'll see what's coming up. I don't know. Big things, I think.
Is it tricky for you as an independent filmmaker who is committed to social change and interested in progressive movements to figure out, you know, how do you connect? I mean, you're not the person who's doing the grassroots work, and yet you've done important political movies, the Salvador movie, War at Home, Joe McCarthy, this movie, Labor Day.
You know, I've never been a member of a labor union, I should say. Although I have done a lot of work for the Writers Guild because the shows I've worked on are part of those contracts. And I try to connect. I've done this for 35 years now, okay? And when I see a big story, I try to grab it. And I try to connect with my subjects. None of the people you see in the film, the workers, the members, were people I had any contact to until I rolled up with my camera crew that moment. Unlike everything else, I'm such an organized producer. In all my other work, I would have pre-interviewed and set up everything. This was like on the fly, seat of the pants, can I talk to you kind of stuff. And yet we met some of the most amazing people that I'll never forget, who are to me kind of like heroes. And the fact that they were able to do this work because of their union to me says they're doing something right. And to execute a strategy like that, it's pretty impressive. So I want to keep making films like this. You know, I stepped out of my comfort zone in the networks, and I feel strongly about journalism and broadcast journalism. I hope to go back and do a whole lot more. But this moment we've been in is so profound, I just felt I had to take a break and try to be part of it.
Well, Glenn Silber, thanks so much for being my guest today. Glenn Silber is a independent documentary filmmaker. His latest film is Labor Day, When Winning is the Only Option. You can find out more about it at LaborDayTheMovie.com. Thanks, Glenn.
Thank you.
Today's program is available online at progressive.org. You can also write to us at 409 East Main Street, Madison, Wisconsin, 53703. Our music is by Mufa. Progressive Radio is produced by Elizabeth DiNovella and engineered at Audio for the Arts in Madison, Wisconsin.